BlackRock has just forced four of the largest banks in the world to do a massive Bitcoin backflip. And as we can see, Forbes believes this is going to create a $10 trillion Wall Street Bitcoin ETF price boom. But BlackRock isn't just talking to the other banks on Wall Street. BlackRock, as we're about to hear, is talking to not only Wall Street, but also some of the biggest central banks in the entire world. Let's listen to Jay Jacobs from BlackRock.
Like gold and into crypto. I mean, that's fair, right?
Well, if you look at a few things, one is if you look at central banks around the world, a continued movement towards diversification beyond just holding dollars is something that's been happening for decades. So the switch from just holding dollars to holding gold to looking at other types of assets like Bitcoin is a trend that's been years in the making. I think if you take a step back, at BlackRock in 2023, we released our new framework for thematic investing called Mega Forces. And that was the first time we really identified geopolitical fragmentation as a mega force that is driving the world forward over the next several decades. Mm. This is materializing in a lot of different ways. It is geopolitical risk between countries. It is materializing in policies like reshoring in the United States. And I think directly related to that geopolitical fragmentation mega force has been the rise of things like Bitcoin, as people see more destabilization in geopolitics, resulting in the need for more alternative assets.
So BlackRock, I believe, has kind of been hinting at the bigger picture here for a little while. Again, like Jay Jacobs said from BlackRock, 2023 was when they published that paper saying, look, geopolitical instability is creating the need for new kinds of asset classes to be adopted. Now, this is obviously why Wall Street is FOMOing into Bitcoin. Before we come back to exploring this rabbit hole about central banks and their communications with BlackRock, I want to talk about the most recent news that we've seen come out this week. That is, of course, the four mega trillion dollar banks getting into Bitcoin. So who are they? Well, they are, as we're about to see, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, and UBS. Again, these banks are absolutely enormous. Again, let's remember, UBS was the bank that absorbed Credit Suisse. So they are literally Europe's largest bank. They are absolutely enormous. They are not a joke. They should be paid very close attention to. And the same can be said about the other names on that list. A lot of people thought that, you know, Bitwise's CIO, Matt Hogan, was maybe just, you know, doing a little bit of, speculation that wasn't quite founded in reality when he came out last week predicting that we would see these mega banks adopt Bitcoin. But we can see very clearly now the biggest banks in the world are FOMOing into Bitcoin. Goldman Sachs ramps up crypto exposure. This is again May 2nd, 2025. All of this came out on Friday. All of this is really starting to heat up here. And then have a look, Morgan Stanley on May 1st, the $1.5 trillion Morgan Stanley is now also offering Bitcoin to its investors. Now, what's interesting about Morgan Stanley, might you ask? I have a very interesting clip here. This is the CEO of Morgan Stanley, James Gorman. And he said, quote, that he never really understood Bitcoin, but now the ETFs have made it absolutely undeniable. Now he knows that Bitcoin is not going away and it's not a fad. So by the sounds of it, this guy's been loading up his bags on Bitcoin for a little while. I think it's interesting that all of these big banks are only really being forced to come out and publicly offer Bitcoin to their clients and launch an ETF in 2025 because the demand is absolutely insatiable. So what I think is interesting, these guys have already filled up their own bags. And now that their bags are filled, they're going to start launching their own ETFs. They're going to start launching and marketing these Bitcoin ETF products to their clients. Again, as we're going to be looking at in a moment here, I think this could be an explanation for maybe why we're not going to see these traditional four-year cycles unfold like they have in the Bitcoin space. Maybe we're seeing some signs that things could be a little bit different this time. I mean, that could be something we explore here in a moment. But before we get there, again, these guys are going to start marketing and shilling Bitcoin ETFs in 2025. So that's the news. These four giga, mega, huge banks who control $10 trillion worth of assets combined, they are now going to be launching Bitcoin ETFs this year. This is should not be understated. These guys are absolutely huge, and they hold a lot of assets, okay? If I were to show you a little bit of just how much money could be unlocked into Bitcoin, let's jump on over here. We can see Morgan Stanley. These guys hold $1.66 trillion worth of assets under management. What about our good friends over there in Europe, the bank that absorbed Credit Suisse? Of course, we're talking about UBS, has approximately $5.9 trillion of assets under management. That's huge. So these guys, again, the Forbes article, some people were like, oh, that's clickbait. Well, is it? I don't think it is. It is, you know, the world is changing fast. Bitcoin is suddenly braced for a $10 trillion Wall Street ETF price boom. Again, it's worded very nicely. But we do have $10 trillion worth of banks adopting Bitcoin this week. So again, the Forbes article that everybody in the Bitcoin space has kind of been pointing fingers at, so to say, but labeling it clickbait. I mean, it's true. We have $10 trillion worth of banks coming into Bitcoin in the past week. This is, again, a reason why I think a lot of us are not quite prepared for what's probably going to be coming in the not too distant future. Now, again, BlackRock, 2023, they're talking about the five mega forces that they believe it's going to be changing things in the future. Now, again, why weren't they, you know, publicly launching ETFs in 2023? Maybe they were just launching their bags. That's what I think was happening. And I think, you know, once the big boys have their bags packed, we're now starting to get confirmation that they've been loaded up on Bitcoin for a long time. Again, we showed you this last week, the Swiss National Bank just got exposed for buying hundreds of millions of dollars of MicroStrategy last quarter while they're publicly saying they will not hold Bitcoin in its reserves. But hey, you know, just forget about the hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoin exposure we have through MicroStrategy. That's different, okay? Wild. It's absolutely wild, the narrative spin that these bankers try to put on the everyday person who doesn't quite, they're not quite able to see through the BS. I'm trying to be careful what I say here on YouTube. But the everyday person just thinks, oh, my central bank in Switzerland says Bitcoin cannot be put in the reserves of a country. It's too volatile. It goes up and down too much. Just ignore the fact that they have hundreds of millions of dollars of MicroStrategy. And boy, that's loud. Somebody's trying to ring me. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not. If it's super loud, I'll go and answer the phone. But again, I think it's not just central banks in Switzerland buying Bitcoin. As we can see, Utah is now going to become the second state about to vote on a Bitcoin reserve bill. So again, I think a lot of people have been lulled to sleep of all of the Bitcoin reserve bills that we're seeing come out, because nearly everybody right now just has come to the realization that Bitcoin is going to be adopted by the world in one way, shape, or form. And I think it's only a matter of time before every state in America holds Bitcoin. Utah is, by the looks of things, just trying to position itself to be one of the first states that adopts Bitcoin, which I think is super interesting, super fascinating. But I don't think it's nearly as fascinating as some of the other things I've seen pop across my desk this week. To McLovin's point, bankers are figuring out Bitcoin. Hey, well, it's about time that our banker friends, you know, figure out Bitcoin. They're only how late? 16 years late, which is pretty wild, really, when we think about it. 16 years late to the party. Have fun, Morgan Stanley. Have fun, JP Morgan. They will happily buy my bags of me at high prices. Much, much higher prices, mind you. When they do finally figure out that Bitcoin's the only thing you want to own in this world. Now, I have another interesting comment in the chat here. Bitcoin showed signs of decoupling the last few weeks. Nearly as if you read my mind there, no second best. Because that's something I want to talk about here. So everybody's been a little bit surprised for why Bitcoin has been aggressively pumping back towards $100,000. Meanwhile, stocks are struggling to keep up and struggling to recover from their most recent 25% correction. Let's hear what Bloomberg has to say about Bitcoin potentially decoupling.
Good time, trading more like gold, just in time for gold to rocket higher. You can see that physical Bitcoin, gold, is up about 9% over the past month in April alone. That has dragged Bitcoin higher, especially in the last couple days. The crypto is up about 6% or so. And take a look at what has happened to tech stocks. In blue, you have the NASDAQ 100 actually lower by 6.5% or so. So Bitcoin may be taking on some safe haven characteristics, at least when it comes to its relationship with gold, Tim.
Physical Bitcoin is what Katie called it. Let's discuss this decoupling.
Okay, so physical Bitcoin is decoupling from risk assets and it's showing signs that it's a risk-off asset. Isn't that interesting? Let's take a look in at the price of Bitcoin, because again, this video aired on Bloomberg the same week that BlackRock said if Bitcoin begins to decouple itself from risk assets, it will be riskier if you don't own any Bitcoin as opposed to owning Bitcoin. Have a think about how big that statement is for a minute. The world's largest asset manager is openly telling you it's riskier to not own Bitcoin if it decouples from risk assets. Again, Bloomberg thinks it's already happened. Bloomberg thinks we're there, which is pretty interesting. Now, let's see what the price of Bitcoin is doing. Is it backing up these speculations that we might have that Bitcoin is actually decoupling? So we see right now we touched $97,500 over the past, let's look at the past month. So let's look at four of these weekly candles. Okay, so that's kind of marked the bottom. Bitcoin's up 31% from its bottom. Let's check in on what traditional assets are doing, because I think like the main, okay, they are actually getting a really nice bounce as well. They are recovering. They're still a little bit further down from their all-time highs than Bitcoin, but it looks as if all the markets right now are kind of bouncing back. So, hey, maybe Bloomberg doesn't know what they're talking about. Maybe Bitcoin is still coupled with traditional markets. And this kind of gets me into talking about what I wanted to talk about next. I think the real decoupling, it's not going to be when Bitcoin's at $100,000 a coin, and or maybe it's decoupling from the NASDAQ and the equity markets by a couple of percent each day. The real decoupling is going to occur when we do see an Omega candle. Okay, and now I know a lot of people don't believe we're going to see an Omega candle, but I just don't think we're going to see the true decoupling happen until we kind of see Bitcoin enter the last 3 to 6 months of its bull run. Because we do know the last 3 to 6 months of Bitcoin's bull runs are always the most interesting. They're the most exciting times. In 2017, what happened? Bitcoin rallied from $1,000 to what, $20,000 in 9 months. That's a 20x in only 9 months. And 2013, what happened? We saw 100x in the space of 12 months. So I think this is the kind of rally that a lot of new people to the Bitcoin space kind of don't remember that Bitcoin does do on a routine basis. 2020, that 2020, 2021 bull run, that was, I don't think that was a real Bitcoin bull run. I think that was a muted Bitcoin bull run. We've told you guys, I know a lot of you guys watching are probably entering the Bitcoin space or did enter the Bitcoin space in the past 3, 4, 5 years. And I commonly tell you guys, you haven't seen a real Bitcoin bull run. The volatility we've just started to see now, it's nothing compared to what we could see in the future. Again, nobody knows where the price of Bitcoin is going to go or how it's going to behave, but I just don't think it's going to continue to get less volatile and more predictable. Financial markets do not become more predictable. Of course they don't. Otherwise, everyone would be a billionaire. The financial markets were very predictable. And everybody right now in Bitcoin seems to think they can predict Bitcoin. They seem to think that they know with certainty, oh, Bitcoin's only going to hit about $150,000 or $180,000 this year because some mathematician drew some fancy lines on a chart. That's a power law. All right? Strapping, we could see some volatility here in the next let's say next 6 to 12 months. Know what you guys own. Please know what you guys own. Continue to study Bitcoin. If you are going to sell a significant amount of your Bitcoin stack at 150 or 200K, just study Bitcoin. Study tax laws. Is it a good idea to sell Bitcoin, pay a 30 or 40 or 50% tax hit, and then try to rebuy Bitcoin 60, 70% lower? Is it worth the risk? As our man Bill in the chat says, government coupons are for buying sats. Gold is for buying jewelry. He sold all his stocks 5 years ago. Great move, Bill. I do love that. Government, my friend used to call them fun coupons. Because obviously, if you don't follow the government's rules, they're just going to take away your fun coupons and throw you in jail. And again, McLovin makes another great point here. Lender's hands are selling their Bitcoin to BlackRock. And Saylor will be crying in the near future. Maybe that's because he doesn't hold his own keys. Who knows why Saylor will be crying. We do have some new Michael Saylor news I want to cover with you guys here momentarily that I think is going to affect a lot of things. More than anything, I think it's potentially going to affect the Bitcoin cycles that we're seeing play out because a lot of people are expecting these four-year cycles to continue to repeat themselves. And I don't think a lot of people are prepared for what Bitcoin could do in its next move. Now, what I do find really interesting is we now have CEOs of billion-dollar firms predicting that the Bitcoin four-year cycle is over. Let's listen to Matt Hogan here in this new clip.
Is it over?
Yeah.
Woo.
It's Whoa. Over.
Okay, hold on. Explain.
Well, I mean, so my view of the four-year cycle is you have a catalyst that brings new pools of capital in. So 2011, it was the launch of Coinbase. Retail investors could buy Bitcoin, new capital. Then leverage builds up and eventually it pops. 2015, the introduction of Ethereum. 2019, DeFi. 2023, it was Grayscale winning its lawsuit in March against the SEC. We're going to get ETFs bringing in capital. The reason I think it's probably not going to play out over 4 years is A, I think that's a longer inflow of capital than retail hot ball of money, which was the past three. And then secondly, we have yet another of those catalysts in November, which is the election completely changing the game in terms of institutional adoption. So even if the ETF driven cycle would have built up leveraged and popped and receded, we have this second tidal wave that's just so much bigger than that first one. It's going to overwhelm it. So will there be, you know, pullbacks? We're seeing one now as leverage comes out of the system, of course. But the election was such a sea change that it's like, it doesn't matter. Yes, there may be this natural thing, but it's just going to get bulldozed over. That doesn't mean we've repealed pullbacks, but I think this cycle is going to be much longer than people think. I definitely don't think this pullback is the end. I think 2025 will be a great year. I think 2026 will be a great year. I think 2027 will be a great year. And we'll see about 2028.
So is the traditional Bitcoin four-year cycle over? Are we going to see these big 18-month pullbacks? I thought Matt Hogan mentioned something really interesting. We've got two catalysts entering the space in the past 12 months that typically, historically, helped to drive a 12-month Bitcoin bull run. So in 2017, we had the big ICO retail bubble enter the Bitcoin space. 2021, we kind of had the beginnings of Bitcoin being embraced by the billionaires with Michael Saylor putting it on the balance sheet of MicroStrategy. But we've just seen potentially two catalysts emerge in the past 12 months. We've got ETFs coming online, and now we have nation states coming online. And both of these guys are slower allocators to Bitcoin. A lot of these guys are not just going to hit smash buy whenever they see Bitcoin and they think it's an attractive price. They're going to slowly scale into a position, which is why I think Matt Hogan's case for why we're not going to see traditional four-year cycles continue, it's a pretty compelling case, I'm not going to lie. And at the same time, we're literally seeing billionaires come out and say, Bitcoin is worth an infinite amount of US dollars. Don't you love that? That's from Tim Draper. Now, for those who don't know, Tim Draper is actually one of the oldest OG Bitcoin holders there is. I actually saw a pretty cool tweet by a power law proponent earlier in the week. It's a good tweet. We can see here Tim Draper reportedly squatting on around 100,000 coins. Just think about that for a minute. He's a serious whale. So for him to be coming out and saying, like, look, Bitcoin's worth an infinite amount of fiat money, I think that's pretty big and it's pretty telling. But let's actually analyze what Matt Hogan said in the clip. What did he say? He said, look, ETF flows could be a little bit more of a, a slow burn, so to say. Matt Hogan is saying, look, maybe the four-year cycle is dead because the entrants in the Bitcoin space right now, they're a little bit smarter. They allocate money a little bit more slowly. Is this true? Let's have a look at what the ETFs have done in their first 18 months. It is nearly 18 months, or about 15 or 16 months since they launched back in January 2024. We can see, like, this thing is just stair-stepping higher. It's grinding higher. The Bitcoin held by ETFs right now is, by the looks of things, just hitting a new all-time high at the time of recording, which is pretty crazy to see. Looks like everybody is allocating to these ETFs hand over fist. And every time we see a correction, we're only seeing very small drawdowns in the total ETF holdings. Even when Bitcoin recently corrected by, what was it? It was something like 20% recently. The ETFs only drew down by something like 1% to 2% in total holdings. So these guys are pretty... They got sticky hands. They don't have slippery lettuce hands like good friend Dave Portnoy. No. These guys, they look like they're holding Bitcoin for the long term. Maybe they're waiting for $1 million Bitcoin next weekend. I think the probabilities of that happening are pretty low. I think they're probably higher than most people think, but I don't think it's higher than 1%. 60K before continuing. Renee thinks we're heading to $60,000. I'm not so sure about that. Don't hold your breath. Most altcoins are going to get absolutely wrecked. What I do find really interesting is what No Second Best here actually mentioned in the chat. We're seeing something kind of unprecedented right now. We're seeing Bitcoin dominance just continue to rip and rise, which is pretty fascinating. I might pull you up a chart so you guys can see what we're looking at here. Now, I think this chart's really consequential because let's not forget altcoins, they're free to create. It's free to create an altcoin. Anybody can create an altcoin and create $1 million or a $5 million market cap out of thin air with a couple of Twitter posts, right? So this thing really, like, there can be a case to be made that this thing should be trending down for a long time. But the fact that Bitcoin right now, compared to altcoins, is at a four-year high. This is pretty telling. I think it's really telling. I think it's telling us, hey, you know, maybe there's some signs that this cycle is a little bit different. Again, what is the theme of this video? Could this cycle be different? Is the Bitcoin four-year cycle different this time? I don't know. And again, nobody does. But these allocators that Matt Hogan mentioned in his video and his interview with Pomp, these allocators, the sovereign wealth funds, the nation states, the ETFs, they're not allocating to altcoins. Again, what happened with the launch of the Ethereum ETF? It was an absolute disaster. It was embarrassingly bad. It was really bad. It was so bad, I'm surprised they didn't give the investors their money back. It was not a good showing. So I think we've already seen very clearly over the past 18 months that Bitcoin is different to these altcoins. Buying Bitcoin, it's very, very different. Again, I would encourage you, please, not buy Bitcoin in these ETFs, like what BlackRock is trying to convince its users to do. Because by the looks of it, and we can see a lot of people right now are trusting BlackRock with their ETFs. They're trusting exchanges with their Bitcoin. Again, I wouldn't be trusting anyone with your Bitcoin because this is the whole reason why Bitcoin is valuable. I saw this news article. I thought it was funny. Who knows whether it's real or not, but I think it makes a pretty interesting point. Confirmed, French farmer discovers a gold mine worth 4 billion euros in his garden, but the state confiscates it from him. I think whether this news headline is true or not, I didn't have the time to really investigate it deeply. But I saw it and I just thought it made a good point. Okay. Buying real estate is not the same as buying Bitcoin. I think a lot of real estate investors have been lulled into this false sense of achievement is a spicy word, but lulled sense of security. I think that's a better way to frame it. I think a lot of real estate investors kind of think like, you know, oh, yeah, I own my land. It's doing great. I'm such a great investor. But I think this meme here kind of sums it up. Real estate is not outpacing the inflation rate, largely. If you look at global real estate, it's up 6 to 7%. And the global money supply has expanded by about 7 to 8%. So real estate is underperforming the expansion of the global money supply. And there'll be some people watching this video saying, but Luke, I own real estate in Toronto, Sydney, Vancouver, LA, or some of the best performing real estate markets in the world, Texas, Austin. And that could be true, you have. But have you factored into all of the time you spent trying to become a property portfolio whiz kid with 5 or 10 properties? Have you factored in all of the extra taxes, land taxes? In Australia, we have something called stamp duty. You have to pay something like 15 or 20K just to the government for buying a home, right? It's insane. It's absolutely insane the amount of taxes and extra costs that are associated with buying buying real estate or trying to, you know, outperform Bitcoin. I just think, you know, inflation has helped a lot of these real estate investors. I think at the end of the day, Bitcoin, there is no second best. I really do think there's no second best. Now, I love some of the questions. You can live in real estate. That is true. But I don't know whether it's worth owning 5 different homes. This is more the investor I'm pointing a finger to. Again, politely pointing a finger. I'm just saying, look, is it really wise to own 5 homes and be a property portfolio whiz kid? I'm not so sure. That's all I will say. Look, I've made the argument before. My argument for the past 5 years hasn't changed. If less than 10% of your net worth is tied up in real estate, then I don't think real estate's a shitcoin, because obviously you do get some sort of advantages and benefits to owning real estate, especially depending upon what stage of your life you are at. But again, I think having more than 10% of your net worth tied up into real estate, not the best move. Again, that's just my opinion. And again, my current portfolio reflects that opinion, and it has for the past 7 or 8 years. Very tempting to buy a home. And I don't know how many of you guys have seen the video on the channel, but I've ripped up my approved mortgage to buy a home in Australia back in 2018 because I started learning about Bitcoin. Anyway, that's probably a story for another day, because again, I don't want to talk about real estate all day. I think I've made my point. I think Bitcoin is the superior asset. I don't think there is any second best. If you are looking to buy some Bitcoin, I always encourage you guys to check out what the Bitcoin Well is doing. They're not only super cool because they force you to take self-custody of your Bitcoin. Again, sovereignty, something you can't get with real estate. But they also give you free tokens for buying Bitcoin on the Bitcoin Well. So again, highly recommend you check out the Bitcoin Well. And once you've bought your Bitcoin from the Bitcoin Well, I also encourage you guys to go and get your hands on some of these titanium plates that you can get from Stampseed. Again, these are titanium. These things survive hurricanes, floods, fires, absolutely everything life throws at it. Again, I tell you guys, do not write down your Bitcoin 12 or 24 words on paper. Paper will not survive everything that life wants to throw at your Bitcoin backup words. So check out what Stampseed is doing. And again, reminder, you guys can get 15% off anything you want to buy from Stampseed with a promo code Luke15. Everything you need to learn about both sponsors is linked in the description of the chat. Now, okay, Shredded at 60 has his seed word stamped onto a titanium plate in his head. Again, he's talking about a brain wallet. If you are using a brain wallet, if you do have your Bitcoin backup words memorized or passphrases memorized, just be careful. Be very careful. I have tried to memorize passwords in the past. I got out of it unscathed, but I've had a few scary scary turns, so to say. So just be very careful with that. You might think that you remember a password very clearly, but I would encourage you guys to do a Bitcoin backup check-in every month or so you do not forget your passwords, because I nearly forgot one. But that's a story for another day. Now, again, I'm actually going to be making a video on this topic, arson fire. So I genuinely believe real estate just saw its biggest tailwind that it's seen in 5,000 years. Now I'm going to show you a chart. It's one of my favorite charts. It's the 5,000-year interest rate chart. Now, a lot of people think real estate's going to continue to do what it's done over the past 40 years. And to all of those people, I show them this chart. See this massive spike on the chart? This is interest rates skyrocketing to 20% in 1981 when Paul Volcker raised the interest rates up to 20% to fight inflation. So this obviously put a pressure on all assets around the world. Then when this rate got jacked all the way down to zero over the past 40 years, this has been the biggest slamming down of interest rates, the biggest lowering of interest rates in human history. Of course, real estates perform well. Interest rates got slammed from 20% to zero in 50 years. Are we going to see that in the next 40 years? Look, I don't think so. Now, again, this chart, it's not scaled to show you the gravity of the move, but this most recent move that we're looking at in the past 50 years, it's absolutely unprecedented. It's wild, okay? So to think that real estate is going to continue to do what it's done over the past 40 years, I strongly encourage you guys to really think about this chart deeply. This chart was actually one of the materials that got me to rethink whether buying property was a good idea if my sole goal was appreciation and treating it as an investment. Yes, I get you can live in your real estate. I understand it. Speaking about living in things, I can't live in my $50 super chat from Rock VTM. My friend, thank you so much for the super chat again. Again, we do really appreciate just all of you guys following in to watch the videos. We really appreciate that. All of the support over the past 12 to 18 months, it has certainly not gone unnoticed, and the content will continue evolving here on the channel. I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but I'm doing far less live streams lately, and I am creating some videos in the background that's taking up a lot of my time. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm full-time creating content over on my personal channel now, so I'm trying to create you guys the best videos possible. So we're still going to do some live streams, bring you guys up to speed on the news in what I think is a time-efficient manner. We've only been going for 32 minutes today. But I also want to create some very, very unique videos for you guys. So again, a little bit of an update for the channel. But thank you so much for the $50 super chat, dude. Really appreciate it. To McLovin's point, thank you for your support. Now, speaking of highly produced videos and trying to create some different kinds of content here on the channel. I would be remiss if I didn't mention to you guys, I did recently interview Samson Mao here on the channel just recently. If you missed that one, I'm going to put a link to that video up on screen somewhere around there. And I'm also going to put a link to another video that I filmed a couple of weeks ago, one of these more highly produced in-depth deep dives where I show that you might be able to retire on 0.00375 Bitcoin. I'm going to put a link to that video up over there. Again, as crazy as it sounds, you might want to watch those videos because we did a full breakdown and a full deep dive on those topics. And with that said, thank you so much to 712 of you guys tuning in between Twitter and YouTube. I'll see you all in the next one. Have a good weekend.